Sarah's in Brixton. Sarah, have you calmed down?
I hope so, James. I had to park over and stop. I was driving.
Oh,
when that
gosh.
Lady Pat started going off and on, I actually had to find somewhere to park because my blood was boiling.
Well, I hope you're better now.
I've calmed down a little now. Yes, I have. I'm sorry, just first-time caller. Love your show. I am a teacher, and I've noticed a lot of teacher bashing. I mean, I haven't been in the profession for long. I've been in the profession for about 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I've done a bit of travelling, and exactly what you said is what I've noticed. When you go to other countries around the world, teaching is a profession that is respected as much as doctors and as much as lawyers, but it's a completely trashed-upon profession in the UK. I think that the job that teachers do, your earlier caller, Rachel, was spot on with all the different roles that teachers have to do. People think it's a cushy job, that you have all these holidays and you have all these early finishing dates, and it's not like that at all. Most people in their job get a chance to have at least a cup of tea at break time and get to have a lunch. Most days, teachers don't. We're running around doing break duties, lunch duties, doing revision sessions at lunchtime, after school, before school, break time. After school, we've got meetings, and we've got after extracurricular clubs, and we've got marking to do, marking of books, of assessments, of tests, of coursework. And then on top of that, we've got training. And then on top of that, we've got so many other things. And then we've got parents' evenings and open evenings. And then rarely do you actually get to leave early. And to be frank, the good teachers and the outstanding teachers are the ones who do all of those things exceptionally well. There are shortcuts that you can take. For example, if you're going to mark some books, just put a couple of ticks here and there. But if you want to do things properly as per Oxford's Ofsted criteria, then you will give the students that you are teaching feedback that will enable them to further and progress with their learning. And that takes time to do. So all these holidays that people think teachers get, we don't actually get. And to be honest with you, by the time half terms or Easter comes around, you're so exhausted and all you can do is sleep. You don't get to go on all these fancy holidays. Then you have to catch up with marking and all sorts of things. So you're actually working during all of those holidays. So this idea that teachers have all these cushy holidays and all these kinds of terms and conditions, that it's actually a false perception, because we don't actually. We're still spending all of that time marking books, planning lessons, writing schemes of learning, because
what?
The government decided to change their policies and they now want us to teach this and that and to assess this and that. And so we've now got to change everything that we've just finished doing over and over and over again, because there are people in government making policies who have no idea about the job of teaching or education. And on a whim, they just make up these things as they go along. And then
tell me, Sarah, sorry to interrupt you. You're on a flow and I don't want to. But why would you want to teach? I asked this to a couple of callers before. Why put yourself through this?
Personally, for myself, I can't speak for anybody else, but I have a love of my subject and I love working with children.
What subjects do you teach?
Science.
Okay, good. Well, that's what we need in this country, that's for sure.
I'll come back to it in a second, but there's a problem with that. But I love children, and I actually started teaching something else in a roundabout that way, and then I thought, I love science, and I love working with children. Why not put them both together? So I actually went and observed in a couple of schools and then went on the training programme, and then I love the job. I love it. It's a wonderful way to be able to inspire children to be able to fulfil their potential. And a lot of kids, I have found since I've been teaching, and I've taught in a variety of schools, I've taught in grammar schools, I've taught in comprehensives, I've taught in all girls, all boys, in mixed schools. And a lot of children nowadays, number one, have got very, very poor self-esteem and very low expectations of themselves. Some of them it's to do with the family that they're coming from. Their parents have very low expectations. For example, I remember in a school that I was in, there was a student who was behaving particularly badly. And the school's the student's parent was brought into school to have a meeting with their teacher and their head of year. And the parent refused to accept any of the poor behaviour that was being seen in their child and stood up and slapped the teacher around the face in front of the head of year. Was anything done to that student? No. That student learned that they can do whatever they want to a teacher and nothing will be done about it because the school just accepted it. There's others I've seen students who have grabbed teachers by the neck in strongholds, and this was particularly a teacher that knew martial arts, and if that teacher had used his training to defend himself, he would have been struck off and probably prosecuted. So there are these things that kind of go on, and students...
have you ever, Sarah, have you ever been attacked yourself?
I haven't been physically attacked, you know, thank God, but I have had obscene things, just like Rachel said about raping, not so much that, but I've had boys coming to my room and pretending to have sex with the door of my lab, telling me how they think I have a ghetto backside, about asking me, will I, can I be their date to the prom, and coming up with all sorts of obscene things like that. But I've never actually had, thank God, any physical touch, anything touching me. But there was a boy. But
go on.
There was a boy who got like a clamp stand that we have in the lab, and he to show that he was, you know, strong and he could do anything he liked. He got this long metal pole off the clamp stand and then started using it to tear some bottles of water that another teacher left in the room to pieces, splattering the water everywhere, and basically walked out and told the class, if she doesn't teach you well, let me know and I'm going to come back and beat her up. And you report these things and then nothing gets done. And then the people that do report them so that something will be done, rather than the school identifying that there is an issue with that particular student, that something should be done about them, they then say that there must be a problem with that teacher. Oh, that teacher must not be teaching properly. That's why this student is threatening to beat them up and follow them outside and getting metal poles and showing them what they like to do to that teacher's head. The whole onus is just the point is completely distorted.
Sarah.
And I think it's to do with the fact of the funding. A lot of these teachers, somebody mentioned earlier about special needs schools. The whole policy of having an inclusive education where students that have particular special needs are supposed to be integrated into mainstream education means that you have a lot of students in schools who have particular special needs where they should really actually be getting specialist support somewhere else. But because of inclusion, they're supposed to be included into mainstream education. There isn't enough funding for them to get the in-class support that they need. So they don't get the support that they need, and then they disturb the learning of loads of other students. And the teacher has to put up with a barrage of insults and sometimes physical abuse, and nothing ever gets done about it because the school also gets additional funding. The more needs a student has, the more funding they get per head of student. That's per head of student. So a lot of schools that are struggling for funding or whatever or to stay afloat, they would rather keep those types of students in their school because they actually get more money.
Sarah,
for those sorts of students.
A couple of questions. First of all, I started this whole thing out at 4, talking about this great news, I thought, because, you know, head teachers are earning a good salary now, and that must mean they're good at their jobs. Now, I presume you teach in London.
Yes, that's correct.
Do you think head teachers deserve the sort of money they get? Are there good head teachers? We've already heard from one teacher today who said that, as far as she was concerned, she felt the staff were carrying the head teacher and the head teacher wasn't particularly good.
In my experience, I have to say that is true in the majority of cases. In the time that I've been teaching, I've only been to one school where the head of the school has been, and the senior leadership team have been an example, an excellent example to follow. But in other schools, either I've seen that the head of the school has been incompetent, or they've been invisible. They have no effect or impact
on
students whatsoever. And every teacher has got to fight their corner in their classroom and make sure that they can control their four walls, regardless of what is going outside.
Sarah, how do you manage to see? I can tell you're emotional now. This is upsetting you an awful lot. And I don't want you to get upset, all right? Because without people like you, Sarah, and Ruth, and all the other people we've spoken to today, without people like you, society's completely knackered. So we need you, and we need you to be tough and to do this job. I am amazed at the amount of response I am getting from people in your situation. How do you manage to sleep? Because you can't, in many ways, look forward to going to work tomorrow.
That's a very good question. I have worked in a school before where there is not enough hours in the day to do all the work, and you can start work at 8 o'clock in the morning and still be there at 10 o'clock at night. And by the time you get home, you're so exhausted, and you just think, oh my God, can I be bothered to get up in the morning? My body is physically at the end. But then, as somebody said earlier, you actually have to have this care for children inside you, and that's what motivates you to keep going in to make a difference. You get glimpses and sparks of the effect that you were having and the impact. And I have I've been very, very lucky to have that, that you see the feedback from the students that you're teaching. For example, somebody who's always been an F-grade student, and after you drilling into them and teaching them and putting up with abuse from them about the fact that you're making them work so hard and they've never had to work so hard, and then they get a C or they get a B, and the shock, the look on their face, like, oh, my God, I've never had a C or B before in my life. Those sorts of things really, really motivate you, because you can make a difference. But unfortunately, if you had to put that level of effort into every single class to get those kinds of results and that kind of impact for every single teacher, all teachers would be just burnt out. And what you were saying about getting rid of poor teachers, some teachers have been harassed and harangued in the job by students and sometimes by ineffective leadership to the point where they actually lose the passion for the job. But they want to do the job, but they've been marginalised and treated so badly that the flame kind of goes out. And sometimes teachers' performance is actually it's gauged by how well their classes perform against set targets for so grades and levels and so forth. And if a school wanted to bully somebody, they could basically just give them all of the low ability classes, as one of your callers was talking about earlier, and put all the troublesome students that they wanted to into a class, and then that person would be start teaching, first of all, a class full of all the troublemakers in the school, and second of all, who have a low ability, and they would struggle to be able to have the kind of energy and the support to be able
Sarah,
to get...
Sarah, just very quickly, because I'm way over time, what's the worst story like that you've ever heard?
Of students?
No, of teachers being bullied in that way.
I can't say.
Why?
It has involved many, many factors to the point where somebody actually walked out of the job, just straight walked out of the school and said, oh, that's it, I'm leaving, and gave up their whole career because they just couldn't take it anymore.
Sarah, don't do that. And
No, it wasn't me. I considered leaving the profession. But there is some. I have considered myself leaving because of the things that I've seen. Because I came in with an understanding of what I could do as a teacher and what education was about and why people would come into this job. And when you come into the job, you see that it's not actually like that. A lot of people are there for political and power games and tricks. They're not actually there because they have the goodness and the helping of children at heart. So that for me was really shocking and upsetting to see that you have to battle through that system and people don't always have the best interests of children at heart. So that made me want to leave. But then I thought, if everybody like me leaves, it'll be that much worse off. So I've decided to stay,
Sarah,
and do what I can to help.
We're going to talk again, aren't we, at some point?
And
Let me tell you that you have enormous amount of support out there. You and all the other brave people that we have spoken to today. We dropped the news for that because we're 5 minutes over the news. So I think we'll get the news again in 10 minutes. But to hear people talking from the heart is very unusual. And hopefully this might actually make a difference in the way that people look upon teachers and education, and people may actually realise what sort of job it is for a lot of people and how little some teachers are being supported. You know, and the fact that they go into school every day, some people actually are abused and insulted. Nobody would put up with that in any other kind of job. Nobody would do that. Sarah, you go home and have a rest, and thank you so much indeed for calling in. And I hope we can talk again one day as well. Lots and lots of people calling in. We're going to keep on with this subject until the top of the hour. You're listening to LBC 97.3.